Good morning, folks. Happy Friday. Seems like it's been a really long week this week, but we're looking forward to the Sabbath, and we also have a lot to talk about, of course, this morning for the Drive Time Friday show. This is yours truly in Southern Colorado, Mark Call, online with us as, well, thankfully, we've got everybody here today. We got Randy Yarborough and also David Justice. So let me say first, good morning to Randy, and then I'll let you turn it over to David, and we'll say howdy to him, too. Hopefully, I think you got him on. So good morning, Randy.
Hey, Mark, it's a wonderful day in the kingdom of heaven. The global neighborhood is falling apart. The rich men of the earth and the World Economic Forum, their plans are being revealed for everyone to see, and we can only pray, Lord, awaken the slumbering masses. Over to you, David.
Well, the truth, and the whole truth is their problem. They're having a hard time because their entire world is a global narrative. It is a narrative that they need to sustain. It takes a lot of energy to sustain a lie because this takes more lies to prop up more lies. Their house of cards is falling. The dominoes are falling.
Good yeah, it's morning. Coming apart at the seams. I think I saw an interesting survey.
Yes.
I wasn't going to start here, but I'll mention this over the weekend that basically the American people, by a huge majority, they don't buy the lie that it's Putin that caused the gas prices. They actually think that the Biden Fuhrer and the communists in the deep state swamp want to destroy the energy infrastructure, and they want gas prices to go up. So there's one for the good guys. The lie is wearing thin, and people are seeing too many of these leftists in the administration come out and say, you know, we're going to raise gas prices. If taxes won't get it, we'll make sure we cut off the supply because we're going to force you to drive an electric car, whether you like it or not, whether you can afford it or not. So here's at least a bit of good news, David. People are starting to see that.
Well, here's the thing. If they were serious, that are behind this reset, Klaus Schwab and et cetera, those who want the Green New Deal, if they were really serious, they'd tap into Nikola Tesla's technology, and we'd get real about this. The fact that they're still not tapping into that knowledge and making it available to the people, that tells me that this isn't real, what they're doing. The whole green energy thing is just a scam to further their control and tighten their grip. Randy?
Yeah, their agenda is to, you know, bring actually what they're doing and the goals they have in mind. They're absolutely having great success of bringing this country down, demoralizing the people, turn everyone into, into poverty, so that everyone now is dependent upon government God. They're replacing God of the Bible with themselves, the state. And so their agenda is moving right along at breakneck speed. So it's time for the people to stand up and say, no, we're not going to put up with this reset. We're not going to put up with a fraudulent money system. It's time to stand up, folks.
Well, you know, back to
the problem where you was
Oh, I'm sorry. We doubled
what
there, David.
What does standing look like? I'll back out. I just was going to raise the question, what does standing look like? If we did actually stand, what would that look like on a mass scale? Go ahead, Mark.
Well, no, yeah, that's a different subject. Let me come back to that second. All I was going to add was just that, Tesla's technology, he wanted to make essentially free or extremely low-cost power available to everybody, and he worked for Westinghouse at the time, and Mr. Westinghouse basically shut that down. Hey, how are we going to make any money with that? And then, of course, after Tesla's death, and this was long, long before the communists took over, although arguably they've been working on it for a long, long time, Tesla's technology was literally squirreled away, hidden, and it's been buried in the deep recesses of the DARPA programs and the like for literally decade after decade after decade. He died 70 years ago or more. As for the other question, though, David, let me go back to you. What does it look like? I think what I am worried about, and I don't use that terminology lightly, but what I'm concerned about is that the way things are going and the intent to start a civil war, the United States very well may end up like the French Revolution with blood flowing in the streets. And I don't want to see that. I have been encouraging people to realize the American Revolution was based on these self-evident truths. The French Revolution wasn't. The creator, the God of the Bible, had nothing to do with what happened there. And they didn't want him involved, and they paid the price for it in literally blood flowing in the streets. What we're going to see today, I think, is unless people realize the penalty for the kind of treason that we have seen that's on the books, never been done at the federal level in American history, although the Rosenbergs were executed, it was for espionage for the Soviet Union. We got that going on, too. But there's never been an execution for treason. And, in fact, we're not going to see it now, but if there was going to be a real recovery back to the rule of law, that would be the first step. Go ahead, David.
Well, that would be the way in. To turn a blind eye toward the treason. But the treason has been happening for decades, and we're just now, as a people, waking up to it. The 1933... HGR 192, and Roosevelt decided he wanted to confiscate all the gold. You know, that was a coup d'etat. What was happening in the 1920s, the Federal Reserve System was stealing all of America's wealth. That was a coup d'etat. And those issues got buried. You know, we didn't have the internet back then, so people didn't hear about them. And the only way you could go learn about them, if you didn't learn about them in school, unless you became part of they and learned the system's way of being, which draws you into that world at the price of your soul. And so they've confiscated a lot of souls. You know, a lot of souls on this planet are following the ways of the deep state, following the ways of the globalists. And really, you know, here's the scary scenario. You know, there is no afterlife for a state. The government doesn't go to hell or heaven or any, there's nothing after the fall of the government. So the judgment comes upon a country when it is in rebellion to the truth. If America is truly founded in the principles of the kingdom, which I can argue conclusively that it was, then America is in a state of rebellion right now. And so arguably, this is the punishment that comes upon a sovereign nation, the people, when they rebel against the principles of the truth and the principles that the nation is founded on. So the difference between the American Revolution and the French Revolution, you're right, the scary scenario is that it's going to be more like the French Revolution if we don't actually repent from the rebellion, start loving the truth more than the narrative, and then stand however we're going to stand whenever what hand is dealt to us. Go ahead.
David, what would it look like, okay? People withdrawing consent. Well, how about number one? You pull your children out of the public pool system, the indoctrination centers. You set up your own neighborhood homeschooling. If you can do it on your own, that's great. If you families come together and in the community and say, we're not going to put up with this indoctrination propaganda of our children. The other thing is get out of the banks. If you can get out of the bank, get out of the bank. If you've got direct deposit of your paycheck and all of that, as soon as it hits the bank, go get it out in cash.
And then turn it into something real.
Any kind of contract that you have with the government, if you're able, and prepare. Prepare for as many people as you think you're going to have to feed, if it's just your family, or if it's your neighbors, or if it's your grandparents, prepare for that. And that would go a long ways. because they're attacking our food supply. We'll segue into that. I don't know if you saw the report of I've seen numbers from 3,000 to over 10,000 dead cattle in the that'd be the southwest corner of Kansas. And so what's going on here? Mainly cattle in the feedlots. So what's that? What's going on here? They're attacking our food supply.
Well, and yeah, I saw all the videos. It was horrible, Randy. You've seen it too. There is lots of speculation. Oh, it was hot. Well, you know, it wasn't inordinately hot. It's not been in terms of weather events. No, the explanation washes kind of thin. But there certainly are those that are speculating. No autopsies yet. And hey, if it's anything like the poison poke, they'll try to avoid autopsies and then hide the results. But some are thinking that given what's desired by the left, that they want to destroy the food system, this is another step, that they were poisoned. Anyway, what's your take? What have you seen on it based on what you know?
Well, it's totally up in speculation. For years and years and years, cattle have been in feedlots, which is, I really don't go along with the industrial feeding system of the cattle and how that's come about. But you talked about a green agenda, okay? This fanciful electric car, wind generator, solar panel, blah, blah, blah. We're going to supply all our energy that way. Well, one of the deals is, well, we've got to quit eating meat because all the cattle are contributing to the global climate change, global warming. Oh, we can't say that now. It's climate change. And so I was talking to Gene Schroeder, a veterinarian, and so he's kind of got his ear to the ground of, okay, are they going to do necropsies on all these cattle and find out what happened? Because nothing changed. You know, they're saying high temperatures and high humidity. No, cattle have been in the feedlots like that for 50 years, and they're not dropping dead all over the place.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the other things that are going on this week. Obviously, the other big one, and what's dropping dead seems to be the economy. Almost everybody's no doubt heard about this. The Federal Reserve, as after first denying that they could ever consider raising rates this far, finally, essentially fessed up this week, and they said, we're behind the power curve. As a matter of fact, we're panicked. We don't know what to do. They didn't come right out and say that, as you might suspect, but they basically came out and said, we're in a heap of trouble, and so what we're going to do is we're going to raise rates a full three-quarter point, and we're going to do it again. Probably again and again, and the expression I've used for a long time is back up until you hear glass breaking. And the glass was broken, and that's what's unusual here. We're watching as the Fed essentially admits they don't have a clue how to fix this. David, why don't you take it?
We're at war. We're at war. This is a tactic. We're being invaded from the South. We're being invaded from the TV. We're being invaded from the church pulpits. We're being invaded by the politicians. They're all being obtuse about the election integrity thing. Well, not all of them. People like Tina Peters and Ron Hanks in Colorado, you know, they're calling this thing the way it is. But then they're being slammed, and anyone that would get behind them is, of course, just operating inside of a delusional paradigm. And that's the picture that they've projected onto us, which, again, is the very thing within which they operate. They're operating within a delusion. It's so powerful that even the very elect could be deceived if they weren't so interested in the truth. The very elect love the truth, and that's the guiding light through this labyrinth of lies and deception. And as we get closer to exposing them, they get more radical in their tactical maneuver back. I believe the Federal Reserve system raising the rate again, that is a tactical maneuver. They want us, ladies and gentlemen, they want us dead. Because remember, we're at war. And in war, there's a lot of casualties. So when we can get our mind around that and realize that this is the season for war, then it's easier to prepare. And coming out of denial is what I think the first thing that we need to be doing is realizing where we're at in history and that there is an enemy on our shores and in our minds, and they want complete control, and they want us to bow down and worship them. That's their objective. That's their agenda.
Okay. Well, let's throw out one more thing on the fire. I think as we're developing this conversation this morning, it's pretty clear where we go. We've already kind of outlined it. What are the things that people can do today? And I keep coming back to the idea of come out of her, my people. We have to understand what we're seeing here is not law. And the story I'm going to trot out next, of course, is about as close of an indicator of that as you're going to find. The new we really want to infringe the Second Amendment all to hell and gone, because the goal here is to kill you, and we know we've got to disarm you first. If we don't disarm people, we know darn well you're not going to put up with what we've got planned. So that's exactly what they are working towards, and they're not even hiding it anymore. Red flag gun laws are about as unconstitutional on every front as you can possibly imagine. You could argue that they're ex post facto laws too, because essentially they're changing the rules after the fact. You have property? Well, no, we're going to come and invent an excuse to take it away from you. And that excuse is, you're crazy. Why do we know you're crazy? Well, because you're not supporting the almighty party. You don't support the state. You're not drinking the Kool-Aid. You're not buying the narrative. So by definition, you're crazy. And the Soviets made a big deal out of this. They essentially brought it to an art form. And now the House of Representatives is saying, oh, we can go a couple steps further. And we're not only going to do that, we're going to put all kinds of other restrictions in place, and eventually we're going to confiscate them. But we know that there's going to be a civil war, and hey, we want that anyway. So on every front, the thing that I'm continuing to suggest is, first, as David points out, people need to be aware of it. They got to wake up to it. They got to understand they really do want you dead. And then you have to learn to say no. And you've got to say it and mean it. David, let's go to you again.
Well, they don't want us throwing off their narrative. Their whole world is a world of make-believe. And they've done such an amazing job creating this artificial world and getting people to buy into it. And now that world is crumbling. So, of course, they want to use force now, all of the other means of sustaining their delusional reality have worn off. And so, yeah, the people like us that have the guns and are on the side of the truth and defending the principles of law and order, as distinguished from what they're doing by using law as a weapon, as a tool, they have to, it's as axiomatic as breathing, they have to come and take the guns in order for them to perpetuate their narrative. And so even though it's completely unconstitutional, they know it's unconstitutional, and yet the House passes it anyway. It's just like they knew stealing the election was illegal, but they didn't care. They had to steal it anyway.
Because
they've
been in prison.
Under a completely corrupt regime that is doing things that it needs to do to sustain its existence, because at the end of this, if they lose, they're facing the end of a rope, or they're facing the firing squad. It's the end of their world. They're facing, this is what we really got to accept, let this in. They're facing the end of their world. They're going to become desperate the closer we get to completely exposing them. Randy?
Yes, exposing them. And I pray, that's one of my daily prayers, Lord, reveal all of the machinations, all of the things done in the smoke-filled rooms, in the dark of the night, of the Satan worshipers that are bringing down the whole world, the whole economic system, the great reset of the World Economic Forum, and all their plans of, oh, it'll be wonderful, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy about it. Yes. Yes, what a wonderful thing. And it's just incredible that the people are, well, more and more people are waking up to this. If we look at one thing, that recent election last Tuesday down in Texas, in a Democratic stronghold for decades upon decades, the people there woke up and said, no, we're not going to put up with this. So they elected a Latina representative to Congress, and there we go. So there's hope out there. There's hope out there. But it still comes back down to, and I will repeat it over and over again, until there's repentance within the church, okay? The church needs to fall on its face and repent before God Almighty and the sins that we've committed for decades upon decades, and the sins we continue to countenance. Until that repentance comes, there will be no redress from God Almighty. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's talk about one other thing. I think that kind of ties into the same area in the news. The attempt by a few people to petition the government for a redress of grievance, to say, hey, you know, we didn't like the fact that the election was stolen. It's obvious. You're then going to say, no, you're not even going to be allowed to talk about it because it's verboten to suggest that what we've been doing and have been caught at is anything other than, democracy at its finest. Well, what a crock. So we have a cockfight, literally, going on in the District of Criminal Swamp that is probably one of the most shameless things I've ever seen. Honestly, have not watched anything except some of the replays and the summaries because I can't physically stand to see the likes of a Liz Cheney up there pontificating about stuff that daddy would have done and gotten away with, and good grief. So they are they're essentially saying, look, we are shutting down any recourse. So far as the Big Brother is concerned and the rule of law is concerned, you have nothing to say about it. You have no First Amendment right. You have no right to petition the government. You have no right to see the evidence presented against you in a court. We're not even going to have courts anymore. We're going to have sham trials. And ultimately, we're left, right? There was a line from JFK that I think was really important. He said, when peaceful revolution is made impossible, violent revolution becomes inevitable. And this is precisely where they're headed. David, take us out. We got about a minute.
Okay, so Steve Bannon, as I'm understanding it, you know, in his trial, he subpoenaed Nancy Pelosi and all of the members of the Unselect Committee. So that'll be interesting. Tina Peters here in Colorado subpoenaed certain records, but the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, refused, and the court, of course, backed up Jenna Griswold. This thing is so deep and so entrenched, and they're so afraid that if the truth comes out, when the truth comes out, not if, but when, it's the end of the world. And so that's why they're being so desperate. So it's nothing, but what amazes me is the extent that they're all willing to cover each other in perpetuating the lie. We're seeing how many people are actually involved. Anyway, take us out, Mark.
You nailed it, David. The point is, they realize that the only way that this country is ever going to return to what it once was with the rule of law is something that would make the French Revolution look calm by comparison. By that I mean there are lots of people that know that the only way that they're ever going to see justice is at the end of a rope. And admittedly, that's a sad commentary, but it's where we really are. We'll be right back. right, we are back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday show, and we're talking about not only the breakdown of a once great country and the rule of law and the complete crackdown on everything that people who know what's going on might eventually come around to deciding we'd better use to try to stop what's happening. You know, and we didn't even mention the attack on children. Not only do they want to poison poke them at ever younger ages, they want to make sure that they get themselves, cut off their genitalia, injected with puberty-blocking drugs and other hormones, and indoctrinate them with things that the Bible calls abomination on every front, like transgenderism, which is even worse than cross-dressing, which already is prohibited in Scripture. On every front, guys, it's just gotten so bad. Well, one other thing that Randy mentioned during the break is one of my personal heroes, a woman who has really been at the front of exposing the level of attempt to destroy the health of people in this country, to poison with the poison poke. That's Dr. Simone Gold. From Randy, this story just came out overnight. Why don't you fill us in?
Yesterday, Thursday, Simone Gold with America's Frontline Doctors was sentenced to 2 months in prison for speaking with a megaphone inside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
How dare she?
How dare she? She took a plea deal and pleaded guilty in March to a misdemeanor count of entering and remaining in a restricted building. Okay? Uh-huh. So now the Capitol is a restricted building.
Only for the American people.
And she's also ordered to pay a fine of $9,500. So go to American Frontline Doctors, folks, and find out there what you can do to help her out. A dollar, $5, whatever, and I'm sure you can put a tag on that to help out Simone Gold. And pray for her. She is a hero in this battle. She has stood up and not backed down. And so you need to support her. And then you mentioned, FDA, 6 months old, and down to 6 months old, we're going to poke the children. And so then we'll have a total pandemic of children dying from heart failure, from blood clots, from who they have no idea the long-term effects of this massive program to kill off millions of people.
Honestly, Randy, I think they do know the long-term effects. I think they know that the long-term effects include sterility, and I think they know that the long-term effects include heart issues, pulmonary issues, and you name it, destruction of the immune system of these young children. They have lied about the test results. They have committed literally conspiracy to commit fraud on the most massive scale in medical history on planet Earth. This is on every level. It's criminal. It reminds me, I saw, Dr. Rand Paul, literally going after the scumbag masquerading as a doctor, Tony Fauci, for all the money he was getting in kickbacks. And Fauci refused to answer the question. All he asked was a simple yes-no question. Have you ever taken any money in royalties? And Fauci refused to answer. We know the answer. It's been in RFK Jr.'s book. David, weigh in, why don't you?
Well, the idea is to take us into the depth of a delusion so deep that we can't find our way out. That's their strategy. They're using all of the tools at their disposal to get that end accomplished. And up to and including the most recent one that I'm becoming familiar with this week is, for example, Colorado, Jared Polis has brought 2,000 Afghanis, refugees into Colorado, and now he's looking for towns around Colorado within which to put them. they're wanting to change the demographics of America as well. So the delusional reality that they've created around the election integrity issue, the COVID-19, the amount of doctors that are on board that have sold their souls to participate and play. If you're really paying attention, how do we respect these people, the academia anymore?
We don't.
The bottom line that we have to get our minds around is that they need us to buy in. They need our consent. Okay, the Declaration of Independence specifically says governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. If we go along to get along, if we play along thinking that, well, we'll just accommodate these people, well, they advance their agenda and we end up getting thrown under the bus. That's the way dictators work, is once they get everybody on board, then they begin to eliminate the very people they use to help them get on board. This is a historical fact. So that's what's going on right now. The charade that's being played, I'm afraid if Trump isn't in the background somewhere with his devolution scheme and the military's not on board and there's not some oversight going on, that the American people are going to be left to fend for themselves. So I'm still hanging on to the possibility that there's some good people in high positions that they've got a few months left to pull the trigger relative to accusing these people. And remember, we've got John Durham still out there with his grand jury. So there's still some things that are up in the air, that there's some possibilities that could shift the momentum. But I'm going to go with Randy. Until we change our minds, and that's what the word repent means. The word repent means change our minds, change the way we think. Change the way we think about things. Change the way we look at things. Get on our knees and desire truth more than anything. That's the means to our end. That's how the people prepare. And just hope that there is some activity going on at some higher levels that we don't know about yet, and that by August or September, or going into the election, that we may have some good news. That would be great.
Okay. Short of the Bo Mashiach, I suspect that unless people wake up and begin to say, I'm just not going to play, I'm simply not going to participate, I'm not going to allow my kids to be destroyed, I'm not going to allow my weapons to be taken, I'm not going to allow you to take and do everything that the Bible says not to do to me and to my future. I'm with Randy. I don't think we're going to get there. And we keep hoping that there'll be a political solution. It's not going to happen. We've already seen that. Let me ask this. Either one of you guys got anything else we absolutely need to talk about today before we get to the music? We've got about 20 minutes, not quite, before the end of the hour.
I don't know, you know. So I've taken a week off. I've taken the last couple of weeks trying to avoid the news, because it's a barrage. It's just an onslaught of disinformation. And the fascinating thing is, to me, is I do believe that the misinformation is in itself waking people up. So a great awakening does need to happen, and people need to courageously stand inside the truth, even if they're being slaughtered by their family or by their friends, or eyes are rolled or whatever. You know, if we can get letters to the editor, and, oh, by the way, we don't cooperate with this gender challenge crowd. We call it what it is. I think stepping into calling things what they are is what this thing is ultimately going to come down to. Being willing, like Jordan Peterson, for example. I'm understanding that the Psychologist Guild, or whatever that thing is, has now determined that psychologists have to give deference to someone having a gender challenged experience. They have to play along with that. They have to buy into it. And so even our psychologists are being asked to compromise their integrity, and they're being asked to compromise the truth. So we've got all of the medical and all of the psychological, all of the political, and now, and all of the religious buy-in to this thing. So the America, the world needs a few heroes. The world needs a few people being willing to take whatever they give in order for us to stand and call out what we're seeing. And I think that that's the weapon of our warfare. It's a spiritual, not carnal weapon for the tearing down of these strongholds. Taking in captivity every vain imagination, running around out there pretending to be the truth. And we also have to understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a mental battle. This war is taking place in our mind. The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So this is, to call it a chess game would not be enough. This is a game where we're being asked to submit to manipulation, to buy into a dark reality that will take America back to a dark age, more primitive than anything the world's ever seen. You know, we think we're all intelligent. You know, we think we're, you know, all modern, but we're really a stupid, intelligent people. And we've lost all common sense. And we're cowering before politicians who are supposed to be our servants. And we're not standing up to the priests of Baal. We're not standing up because we don't know how to stand up. We don't have leadership. So what's missing is leadership. What's missing is courage. What's missing is the desire to know and stand on the truth above everything and letting the chips fall where they will. You know, it's an amazing thing when you set out to let the Holy Spirit lead, let the truth lead, the counselor, the comforter teaches us all things. We don't need anyone to tell us what to do. Okay. We know it's written on our hearts.
But let me stop you just a second. That's a good commentary, David. But on the other hand, I'm not sure if I agree with the end point that it's not about a lack of leadership or something. No, there's no Moses on the scene, and no, even the great Messiah in the flesh, Donald Trump, failed to do the important stuff when he needed to. So I'm being sarcastic there. I will suggest the problem goes a bit deeper and it's a bit closer to home. Yeah, it's fear. Fear not is the most repeated commandment in the scripture. And I think you're hitting on 90% of it. But the big concern that I have is take a look and ask yourself the question, do we think that people who are dumbed down enough, cowardly enough, to put their kids in masks and let them be poison poked, knowing that this thing hasn't been tested, or maybe they're so stupid they don't even know that, they're going to allow their kids to be injected with this poison? Are they going to stand up and say, oh, you're not going to take my guns either? They've already given up. So that's my concern, is that so many people that have absolutely no clue about what's being done to them are literally going to walk right smack into the gas chambers. And it's not like they don't know history either. They're letting themselves be disarmed. They're letting their kids be turned into literal automatons. They are ignoring what Scripture says, and they're, as Yeshua says, they have their reward. The trouble is, as for the rest of us, I really do want to spend a minute or two here. I'll go to Randy. What kind of things do we suggest that people who know what's going on need to be able to do and ought to be talking to their neighbors about, given what's already here? Go ahead, Randy.
Well, one of the things they can do is the truth is out there on the internet. You can find the articles. You can find the, you know, as far as COVID goes and the poison poke and everything else, there's a ton of information. So find the article. Print it off. Give it to your neighbor. Give it to your friends and families. Give it to your pastor and say, you need to bring this up. You need to be thinking about this. You know, I asked people yesterday, we were in the city, and I was asking people, did you get the vaccination? And about half and half. Half got it, half didn't. The half that got it, I said, well, if you run into problems and you start getting sick, here's a here's a website you can go to that might be able to help you out. And, you know, and don't denigrate them for doing it. Don't call them stupid and idiots for doing it.
It's too late.
Be compassionate and say, you know, you were fooled. You were duped.
You bet.
And so...
But don't do it anymore.
The other thing, we were mentioning the Second Amendment and psychologists and psychiatry. This new gun control that they're putting together, and there's a, you know, a big compromise, and oh, we're all together on this. Part of the deal in that is going to be, well, if you want to own a firearm, you need to have a psychological evaluation. And if you go to the psychiatrist manual, whatever one they call it now, number 5, basically it says no one is sane. Everyone is insane to some degree. So that's exactly what, mainly in China, but also in Russia and every communist country, you're psychologically unbalanced. You cannot own a firearm. So be aware of that and do not submit to a psychological evaluation.
Wait a second, Randy, real briefly, there's one important point here. If you want a gun, they're going to declare the very fact that you want a gun means you're insane. Because you know what we're going to do to you for wanting it. So, you know, it's a catch-22. It's classic, it's Soviet, and it shouldn't fool anybody.
But that's where that's headed. There, I mean, you know, we've got a communist takeover of the medical system, and that's what's been done in all totalitarian communist regimes. They take over the healthcare system. So, the other thing, folks, is the interest rate jumps that they're doing here. It's just a matter of time, especially if you have a mortgage with an adjustable rate interest, before you may end up seeing your monthly payments jump by a third and then by a half and then to the point of, well, I don't have enough money to make the mortgage payment. So if you're in that system there, you maybe want to go out and see about refinancing with a fixed rate mortgage instead of an adjustable rate.
It's going to be awfully difficult at this point, and they're going to try to hit you extra for it because everybody that's been paying attention knows that what you're describing is exactly what's intended to happen. Now, part of the problem is, and we've talked about this, the goal here is to disenfranchise people and to steal their property. So you thought you owned a house? Sorry, you don't.
And, you know, it's just a matter of how long is it going to take before the foreclosure notices start coming in? Go ahead, David.
Well, I have to go back to our buy-in and our consent is the gas that keeps their engine running. If when we get to the place where we realize that withdrawing our consent, you know, the scripture says, come out of her, my people, and be separate. Her, who is the her in that context? The her is Mystery Babylon, of course. And it's an imposter. It's an imposter truth. It's an imposter religion. It's an imposter. And every aspect of our lives buy into this imposter. Imposter. And it's the system of the narrative. It is a system with no regard to truth. And so when we realize that only the truth will set us free, and we realize that the only thing that's going to disempower them is to withdraw our consent, I think the final battle is coming down to non-cooperation. And if we can do it non-violently, that would even be better. But they're not going to take away the guns, because the minute they take away the guns, well, and Mark, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think many people are going to go ahead and surrender their guns
because they're going to be told to by someone that they trust, like someone on TV or someone like, I'm sorry, like Kenneth Copeland or someone like that has established themselves as a Christian voice in this country. But in people listening to this radio station, we need to realize that when the time comes, there's going to have to be a choice made, whether to comply or not comply. And non-compliance is a form of resistance in and of itself. It's not an aggressive form of resistance. It's a passive form of resistance. And we have to, this is the form of resistance that Yeshua offered up. It ultimately got him killed. And it may take a few of us out, too. But those deaths of martyrs, whether they be taken out defending their Second Amendment or First Amendment rights, that will become contagious. I think we will see civil war on our soil. I don't see any way to avoid it. And this latest move of the red flag laws and the gun control laws passed in the House tells me, yes, we know it's illegal, but we're coming anyway, and there's no way to stop it. And I think that that's why they broadcast the committee, the January 6th committee this week. Again, they're shutting down that narrative. You cannot say anything contrary to the official narrative that we adopt, just like Kennedy back in the day. The Warren Commission adopted, here's how it happened. Yeah, you had a magic bullet ricochet and do weird things, but you can't question the Warren Commission. Anyway, so we have to have a mind of our own and a heart for truth and be willing to stand. And however it's the hand is dealt to us, we stand in that hand and trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding in all of our ways. Acknowledge him and he will direct our paths. And remember, we have power that we've barely tapped into. And when we're backed into a corner, we will find out who we actually are. And I think that this may be the test just to find out who the true children of our Father are on this planet. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, we've got less than a minute here. We certainly want to end on the positive note, and I think it just continues to be so vital to understand. We are seeing it. Most of the people listening here, I think, are actually looking at it, probably sharing our frustration and saying, come on, how much more of this are we going to put up with? How much more of this do we have to see? And people fail to recognize that they're being lied to, they're being destroyed, they're being killed, they're being injected, they're then being disarmed, and they intend to follow this all the way. So maybe the right answers to say, hey, what have you got to lose other than your chains, right? Other than your fear, other than recognizing that you're serving the wrong God. So I guess I like to end with the way Scripture makes what I think is the best two-word summary of the whole book, which is choose life. In Deuteronomy 30, I have laid before you this day life and blessing, death and cursing. Therefore, choose life so that you and your children might live. And it is as stark of a choice as it's ever been. You cannot look at the society today and see what's being done with drag queen story hour and disarmament and putting kids in gun-free killing zones and taking the poison poke and wearing your mask without realizing the choice that's being offered to people is death. So when you ask them, hey, would you choose death or would you rather fight and risk death as opposed to certain death, right? March into the gas chambers or fight. I always never understood why people wouldn't do that. This is where we are. It's time to wake up and make a choice for life, to walk in obedience to him. And with that, guys, hey, Shabbat Shalom, folks, and thanks a lot.